Today with The Takeaway, I'm John Hockenberry. We're taking a look at what happened yesterday and what it means for the future. The large turnout revealed some important social trends across the country in the outcomes of ballot measures and in some statewide races. Certainly the enthusiasm for Barack Obama among women voters had an impact on the four women victories in tight Senate races around the country, including a victory by Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin, who defeated a Republican in the home state of vice presidential candidate and pro-life conservative Paul Ryan. Tammy Baldwin is the first openly gay women senator to be voted into the U.S. Senate. Four states had same-sex marriage on the ballot in one form or another. All four states voted in favor of upholding or extending those rights. The four states in question: Maine, Maryland, Washington, and Minnesota. And large turnout certainly figured into the outcome of those ballot measures. Here to discuss it are Evan Wolfson, president of Freedom to Marry, a coalition committed to extending and preserving same-sex marriage rights. Evan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And we welcome Kenji Yoshino back, a constitutional law professor at New York University. Kenji, welcome.
Thank you, John.
A lot of people are saying that this simply ratifies a trend socially that we see in the polls as far as the embrace of same-sex marriage is concerned. Anything particular in the outcome of these ballot measures that surprised you yesterday, Kenji?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's a landmark and a turning point for the movement in that we have, for the first time, direct democracy working in favor of same-sex marriage. So the talking point on the other side has been legislatures do this, courts do this, but whenever we actually put it to the voters themselves, you know, we win. You know, the anti-same-sex marriage camp wins. And so here we got resounding victories in the states, as you just mentioned, and I think that that's a really important talking point that we've taken away from the other side.
Evan Wolfson, is there a way to tell if in any of these states there is a possibility of legislative reversal or modification of any of these ballot measures?
Well, in Maryland and Washington, we passed the Freedom to Marry bill through the legislature, had it signed by the governor, and in the ordinary course of the way America operates, that would have been enough. But the anti-gay forces forced it onto the ballot in an attempt to take it away, and of course the voters resoundingly upheld the Freedom to Marry. So I think it's pretty secure in those states. In Minnesota, it was an anti-gay constitutional amendment being pushed to try to cement discrimination into the Constitution to prevent the legislature or the courts from ending this discrimination. And the voters of Minnesota became the first in the country to reject that kind of discriminatory barrier. So that opens the pathway for moving forward in Minnesota. And in Maine, where the governor and the legislature refused to move the Freedom to Marry after the legislature and governor in 2009 had passed the Freedom to Marry and the voters took it away, it was the proponents of the Freedom to Marry, our side, who felt that we had in the intervening years had enough conversations, built enough support, moved enough hearts and minds to be able to go directly to the voters ourselves. And we did put it on the ballot and we won. So I think it's pretty secure in all these states. And all of this momentum will encourage decision makers in the next wave of states and in the federal government, Congress and the Supreme Court, if a case does get there soon, as it may, to do the right thing and to get on the right side of history, knowing that the American people are there.
Evan, let's talk for a little bit about what's next on the sort of landmark here, on the landscape here.
Mm-hmm.
Is the most important issue for you or a significant issue for you getting a state like Texas or some, you know, real red state to embrace this issue? Or is the next issue really that this becomes a non-issue nationally?
Well, the way America does its civil rights business, the way other social justice movements and other chapters of history have unfolded, is that ultimately it's Congress or the Supreme Court that bring the country to national resolution. We've never won full equality for people within the four corners of every state, voting each time in the most challenging states as well as in the states that move forward. What happens is we get a critical mass of states and a critical mass of public support as we engage in a patchwork of progress, and then the Supreme Court or Congress brings the country to national resolution, finishes the job. So we're not likely, and nor should we have to, win our fundamental freedoms vote by vote, state by state, year by year, all of which constitute painful denials and difficulties. What we need to do is get enough momentum to encourage the Congress or the Supreme Court, and most likely the Supreme Court, effort to bring the country to national resolution,
right.
just as it did with race restrictions and religious restrictions and so on in previous chapters.
And that brings us right to...
And we're now on the verge of doing that.
Well, let's grab that issue of the Supreme Court. Kenji Yoshino, we've got a possible challenge to the Defense of Marriage Act before the Supreme Court. They may take this case up. If they do, will there be a states' rights question on the issue of gay marriage in the United States before the Supreme Court?
Well, let's be really clear that there are actually two different cases heading up towards the Supreme Court. So one is the Defense of Marriage Act, as you mentioned. That is a federal definition of marriage between one man and one woman. It would not affect the state definition of marriage, you know, with respect to any of the states. There's another case called the Perry case, the Prop 8 case, that is coming up from California. And that would put squarely in play this issue about whether or not there's a constitutional right that would be imposed upon the states or that would require the states to grant same-sex marriage. So we'll know probably by the end of this month whether the Supreme Court is taking one or both of those cases. I think they'll almost certainly take the DOMA case. They may or may not take the Perry case. If they take the Perry case, then that will possibly put a 50-state solution into play. I think it's actually more likely that the court will be more parsimonious in its ruling and do it in one state or nine states. You know, there are several breakpoints that we can go into if you're interested. But basically what Evan is saying is absolutely right, that what happens is that we build a critical mass of states, whether through intermediate court decisions or through other actions, and then finally the Supreme Court comes in and washes out the outliers.
Upholding and extending the rights of same-sex marriage, one of the big issues from the election yesterday. Evan Wolfson is president of Freedom to Marry, a coalition committed to extending and preserving those rights. And Kenji Yoshino, a constitutional law professor at New York University. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks so much.
And what's the tone? What's the feel? Where we stand the day after the election? We've been asking you for an anthem, for a soundtrack of some sort. Are we feeling out there? You know where I'm going here? Republicans and Democrats dancing together, thanks to Brian from Michigan. How long will that family feeling last? Give us your own soundtrack suggestion, anthem suggestion. Just call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment.